Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. We just, as I said, we just got back from men's camp, and we were really blessed and refreshed. It was a good time, and we were talking about building things, and it was a powerful time. And last week we began the year talking about a New Year's revolution, and so we're going to keep that theme going today, because we want to revolutionize our faith. This year, we said we wanted to exercise our faith muscles and go deeper and stronger in faith, and that's what we want to do. And so we need to build ourselves up every day. It's a daily thing. Building ourselves up is a daily thing. And in Jude 20, it tells us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you know what? Do something every day to build yourself up, no matter how small it is. But we were talking about building at men's camp, and it's maybe something we'll teach on a bit in the future, but we were reading in the book of Haggai. And it says there, you know, it says that these 50,000 Hebrews came back. King Cyrus sent them back to Jerusalem to go and to build the temple. And so this remnant of people, they say, yeah, okay, we have faith in the promise. They still had faith in the promise, had faith in God's promise, so we're going to go back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem had lain in uninhabited and waste for 70 years. Wars had ravaged it, and so they were really setting out to go and do something that was quite a task. It was going to be difficult for them, and so, but they were really, I believe, zealous, and says, okay, let's go. We're going, we'll get the job done. And many of you may know the story, but they got there and they began to work. But the work didn't last long. They worked for a number of weeks, and then opposition started coming against them, discouragement, disinterest, and they stopped. They put their tools down and they stopped working. And in Haggai 2, it says there that what they said was, Lord, now is not the time to build your temple. They weren't saying, God, we're not going to build it. They said, now is not the time to build it. Can you imagine saying that to God? We know it needs done, but now's not the time. You know, that's like, sweetheart, your dinner's out. Now, I know I want my dinner, but if I say, thanks, honey, but now's not the time, I'll get it later. My wife's going to be wrath with me, you know? She's going to be like, I've just put all of this preparation, I've put all of my love into this for you, and so come and get it now. And so they're like saying to God, you know, we know your temple needs built, but now's not the time. And so God says, so you would rather go to your paneled houses and your feathered nests and leave my house in ruins. Wow, that's a heavy. You would rather go and do all of this just because of the discouragement, the disinterest, the opposition. The Samaritans offered to help them to build, and they said, no, we don't need your help. And then the people that offered to help them build became their opposition. There's a message in that. The people that offered to help build became their opposition. And so the story goes on that Haggai had to get involved and say, listen, look at the state that you're in. You sow, but you don't reap. You wear warm clothes, but you can't stay warm. You get money and it goes through holes in your pocket. You know, God is saying, you know, it's like God withheld the dew. Actually, the word says that God caused the drought in their life because they had forgotten God's house. They'd forgotten God's kingdom. They're like, we're going to build our little empire. We're going to, and it's, and you know what? Babylon was quite nice. You know, we left all of that, little bit of opposition, and they just downed tools, and that was it for 15 years. 15 years of neglect. And God, in his grace, so if this is speaking to anyone here today that feels this is speaking to me because I've neglected building God's kingdom, I've neglected it. Haggai, thankfully, not like the rest of the prophets, that when they brought prophecy, they were treated harshly. It's like, I'm bringing you the word of the Lord. Okay, bring it. Oh, we don't like it. And, you know, but you know what happened? The people embraced Haggai. They embraced the word. They listened. And as soon as they did that, God lifted his hand and he began to bless them from that day. From the very day. Now, you think, okay, 15 years, you'd think, you know, I'll just let you stew in that a little bit. But from the very time they made a decision to begin to get back to building, God lifted his hand and the rains fell and the harvest was there and everything was there. Isn't that amazing? And so we've been talking about building and not building our own kingdoms, but building God's kingdom. Yeah, he was the first, God was the first in the construction business. You know, he started the building. And so, you know, we have a privileged position to build on the foundations that have already been laid here. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And so, but one thing is they never forgot that promise, that, you know, they had faith in the promise that God, you know, the temple would be built and, you know, they would inherit what was rightfully theirs. And so it's really important. So we've got to always remember faith is important. Now, what does the word say? Now abides these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But faith is mentioned first. Faith is important. And we need to also, you know, this year, I believe, you know, Paul says in Romans, I think it is, that we move from faith to faith. And I've heard a lot of people have different interpretation of what that means. But, you know, Angela had saving faith to be saved. So there are levels of faith. There's saving faith, and then there's speak to this mountain, and it will be removed faith. So there's faith, and we want to move from faith to faith. We want to increase our faith. Amen?
Yes.
And this message, this short message this morning will hopefully encourage us all to look at our faith, strengthen our faith, and bring our faith together to build this year. Oh, build this year. Build, build, build. We've begun well. And we're going to end even better. And I've said to a lot of people this year, we are going to get to Christmas time and look back and say, look what the Lord has done. Because this church will be, amen, it'll be thriving. So, amen. So anyway, I want to tell you this little story this morning. Start off with this little illustration. And if you can imagine an aircraft full of passengers, it's heading over to South Africa, flying from Glasgow, but it has to make a stop at an airport, an unexpected stop at an airport along the way. And the stewardess announces, listen, we have to land, it's a bit unexpected, but the delay is going to be around about an hour or two. So she says, if anyone wants to get off the plane and go in and stretch your legs, then you can. So, and if we've all been in that situation, sitting on the tarmac on the plane, sometimes for hours, and it's like, oh, I wish I could just get off this plane. So everyone gets off the plane except for one man. And so as the pilot's leaving the plane to go and get a refreshment and stretch his legs, he sees the man sitting there, and he notices that the man has a seeing eye dog. He has a guide dog. So he says, he says, listen, are you not getting off to go and stretch your legs? And the guy says, no, I'll be fine. But you know what? You could give my dog a walk. You could take him and stretch his legs. So the pilot takes the dog, and you can imagine a pilot, Ray-Bans, pilot's hat. He takes the seeing eye dog off of the plane, walks up the airway into the terminal, and goes and does his thing. And then after he's done his thing, he returns to the plane, Ray-Bans or Roy-Bans, maybe he got them in Spain, I don't know. Ray-Bans, cap, and he walks on, seeing eye dog. And of course, now by this time, the passengers have noticed that the pilot has a guide dog. So all of a sudden, chaos ensues. They're rushing to the customer service desk. Listen, can we change our flight? What's, you know, and it's like, wow. And my question is this morning, you know, if you were in that situation at that time, who would you place your faith in? Who would you place your faith in? Well, he must be the pilot. It's somehow he must have got his pilot's license, even if he's blind. It's all computerized these days anyway. And so anyway, it's, you know, I think sometimes we look for feeling first, feeling secure. We want to feel secure before we operate in real faith. And this message this morning is about real faith. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, if you go there in your Bibles, it says there, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And I looked at that and I thought, do you know what? You could put that another way. Or will he find real faith on the earth? And so Jesus is coming back, and what will he find when he gets here? You know, where will he find a faithful, faith-filled, I live and move and have my being in you, and I'm operating my life as in, I live my life by faith and by faith in the Son of God, you know? And so will he really find faith? And so it's like these airline passengers, they maybe wanted to feel secure, but their natural eyes were screaming a different message. I want to feel like this is going to be okay, Lord, but my natural eyes are screaming at me that this is, man, I got to get out of here. And so there's the word talks about perfecting our faith. Have you heard that? Perfecting our faith. Believing without doubting. When doubt and fear come in, our faith becomes imperfect. So we're striving towards perfecting our faith, but the opposite of faith is fear, isn't it, honey? It's the opposite. So there's this struggle there because we want to feel the result before we believe it. We want to feel the result before we actually believe it. Lord, if you would just let me feel that actually this is going to work out, then I'll believe you the rest of the way. And God's saying, no, no, no. Faith, you believe that I have said it and I will do it and I will cause my word to come to pass in the name of Jesus. Don't sit there relying on half of your feelings because really you're relying on 110% of your feelings. That's what's going on. And so there's an old saying that goes, I'll believe it when I see it. But when you're living in the kingdom of faith, it's different. It says, I'll see it when I believe it. Amen? The old saying, I'll believe it when I see it, but by faith we say, I'll see it when I believe it. So the belief happens in our heart at the same time as we see it. Actually, it's like Allison. We have to see Allison getting that good report from the doctor. Allison, I want to let you know today that you're free from cancer. That's what we've got to see in our heart. That's what we've got to see. And we believe it in that moment. Amen. And so, you know, if many of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth. And he said it was, and he went all over the place changing lives by faith. And he said that one of the biggest problems that people have, especially with their salvation, is they want to feel saved before they're actually saved. I want to feel like Jesus has done something. But we're saved by faith. We're saved by faith. And some people have radical salvation experiences. I remember one gentleman, some of the men will know the man I'm talking about. And when this was many years ago, he responded to the... I get a bit emotional just thinking about this because I see this happening in the future. I see people responding to the altar call and coming broken down the aisle. And he came absolutely broken. I mean, he's like, he could hardly hold himself together. And it was almost as if the Holy Spirit had bent him over like this. He was actually coming down like this. Like, you know, the Spirit of God had just humbled his life in that moment when he realized that I'm saved, you know. And that is what I believe we're going to see. And because some people have a radical salvation experience like that man, it was like he was, for days, he was just completely, you know, wow, you know, what a change in my life. But for some people, it's not like that. It's not like, you know, there was the weather changed and there was light or there was some, you know, it's just we accept things by faith. We have to do that. Amen. And so, amen. And so, if we want to feel before we believe, it'll never happen. God's word says, if we believe, we will see the glory of God. If we believe, we'll see his glory. And if we want to see his glory without the belief, we will not see his glory. We have to believe that his glory is real. We've sensed it. We've experienced it. And that it's going to come. Nothing is impossible for God. The problem is we measure God by the limitations of our own unbelief. Our unbelief limits what God is able to do in our life. And God is able. And not only is he able, but he's also willing. Hallelujah. He's able and willing. He's like, Joe, I'm ready. Just you push the button of belief. And then, I'm able. And it's like, that I believe is the thing. Amen. And so this year, I believe we'll, in faith, we're going to reach beyond what we've got hold of. The title of this message this morning is The Reach Beyond Your Grasp. The Reach Beyond Your Grasp. And so this year I believe that, and we prayed this morning, what we have is not all that we have. What we have is not all we have. God has much more for us. We don't have it yet. We have some things, but we don't have everything that... He says, I've prepared a way for you. I've prepared things for you. And we don't have it all yet. But this year, I believe we know what we've got a grasp of, but we're going to reach out for more. We're going to reach out for what God says we can have, but we don't have yet. Do you believe that? Yes. You know, to have something in your grasp is one thing. But there's a life of potential and possibilities out there that is just within your reach. We just have to reach out and receive it, take it, grab it. We just got to reach. And you know, sometimes when we're reaching, it's not comfortable. Joe, you'll testify to this. If you're up a ladder and you're like, you know what, I'm not going down to move a ladder. I'll just reach. It's not comfortable. It's a bit unsettling, that feeling of reaching. But I believe that that's what we have to do. The reaching is going to take you out of what you've been comfortable with. It's going to take you out of that, and you're going to have to reach, oh, steady on, a bit of balance, reach a bit more, you know, and I think it's like that. We're going to have to reach out. Amen. Amen. So, and I think it's this year we're going to revolutionize our faith. Yes. And last year we said, from the inside out, in a revolution, it starts and it goes all the way at 360 degrees around, but not back to the same place. Amen. Amen. And so in Romans chapter 1, it says there in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God says, I want you to live your life by faith. And I think that what we need to do early this year, and we've been doing it, I believe, is assessing our level of faith. Where am I really? You know, and there's different, and every, you know, our friends here that done Bible school with us will know this. We looked at weak faith, shipwrecked faith, you know, great faith, all of these different things, paralyzed faith, you know. And so we need to understand where we are. Weak faith is an under-exercised or underutilized faith, weak faith. You may have, and we, you know, God gives the Spirit by measure. And we spoke about that this weekend. And it ties into what Haggai was saying as well. But God gives the Spirit by measure. He's not gonna, if you say, Lord, I'm praying for great exploits. There's nothing wrong with praying for great exploits and for mighty things to happen. But if you don't have the depth, or when you do great exploits, God's presence is with you, in a major way, and sometimes we have a measure of the Spirit, but we are overreaching for something that we want, but God's saying you won't attain that with the measure of the Spirit that you have. You know, and that sounds a bit harsh, because we always think, well, God will do it anyway. But it's important how much of the Spirit we have inside of us. And so and that's why last week we said, this year we're going deeper. We're going deeper in the Word. We want to know God more and know His presence more. And Pastor Bernie said something. There was a pastor overseas, the other side of the Atlantic, that repented to his church. And he said, he had a big church and a big ministry. He says, I want to repent because I've built a church. Notice the word, I've built a church that is a millimeter deep and a mile wide instead of a mile deep and a mile. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand the perspective? It's God in us, in the full measure of His Spirit. And if we are trying to build, if we think we are building something, we're mistaken. Is God gives the increase, amen? And so we've got to look at that. You know, shipwrecked faith. Has your faith been smashed to pieces by the storms of life? You know, it's like a ship going up against the rocks. It just gets completely wrecked. And sometimes people's faith, they put their faith out for all sorts of things, but they misunderstand faith and the principles of faith. And then their prayers are not answered. Or, God, you never came through for me on that. And gradually their faith is battered into pieces, and it's like a shipwreck. And then there's paralyzed faith, which is like, I want to have faith, but you know what? I've got a problem because Joe did something to me and I can't forgive him. And our faith that we think is going to be operation is not operating because we have unforgiveness in our heart. It paralyzes us. And, you know, sometimes we're looking for the results. We're looking for the harvest. But I believe God's saying to us, look for faith in your heart first. Make sure. Look at where you are in your faith. Faith comes before the harvest comes. So we've got to look for faith in our heart. Meditate on the word until the abundance of the heart declares that you believe it. And that's the thing. That's why this year, word. What are you reading? What are you hearing? What are you reading? What are you hearing? What are you reading? What are you hearing? More of the word, more of God's presence. Less of the word, less of God's presence. I'm sorry, that's the formula, that's the equation. And if we think less of the word, just go for it, fly by the seat of our pants, and we're going to have we're going to experience great things, revival, breakthrough, God's presence. Mm-mm. No. And when we corporately are at that level of intensity, where God's word is at the center, and remember, God says, my word is even above my name. That's how important this book is, but the thing is, it's also the most contentious book, the most controversial book, in the book that most people are saying, I have a problem with that. I think I can believe that bit, but I can't believe that bit there, you know. And so that's the thing. We've got to meditate on it. Faith works by love. And so how much do you love Jesus? How much do you love the person sitting next to you? Faith works by love. We've got to look for that love in our heart, and that's going to determine our faith ability. So that's important to remember. And I want to look at this, a little lesson in faith from the book of Haggai. You know, generation to generation, we all face the same challenges when it comes to God's word and faith, don't we? But we've got to seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to us. And we give thanks this weekend that God provides the daily needs of our lives, provides for the daily necessities of life. But all of this building and stuff that we're talking about, and all of the things we're doing, will only bring glory to God if God's been in them from the start. If God's presence isn't in the whole process, then what have we built? We've built something that's devoid of God's presence and devoid of God's glory, and we think we've done a great job. You know, look at the church we've built, but we did it our way. No, we've got to have God's presence in everything that we do. And God calls us to commit what we are, what we have, and all that we do to him. And I heard this interpretation of Haggai there, because God said, all right, you guys have left my temple, you've neglected that, and you've gone to your paneled houses. Now, in those days, they used cedar wood for paneling, cedar and other different types of wood. It must have been beautiful. And he says, go up to the mountains and go and get more lumber. Go and get more wood and bring it back and start building again. And someone said this, and this is not in the word, so this is food for thought. But it struck a chord with me. They had built the altar, and they had started on the temple, and then they stopped working. But they had a lot of building materials there. They must have had all sorts of stuff there. And this person had a perspective that I read, that perhaps the people had thought, the building has stopped, we'll recommence it at some point. But do you know what? I need a little bit of cedar wood just now. Or I need something for my house. And maybe we can just get it from here. What they were trying to communicate is, I believe, that when we use things to build our own house that are not rightfully ours to build with, they're for the building of God's kingdom and God's house. They're not ours to go and take and use. And I thought, wow. And we prayed and we said, Father God, forgive us if we have taken anything from you to build for ourselves. Forgive us. We're going to bring it back again. Bring it back. Go back and get the stuff and bring it back so that you can build and so you can keep on building. Amen. And so we've got to make what we're doing, this building work, a priority. We've got to make it a priority, our priority in life. And so, praise God, we've got to be careful. Whose kingdom are we building? We want to be building God's kingdom. Amen? And the thing is, there's always, we talked about people that build great things, the Eiffel Tower, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Fourth Road Bridge, the Empire State Building, and all of that. And a lot of times, there's a lot of man in those things. You know, it's like, you know, we'll build this and this will make us famous. You know what I'm saying? And there's actually a scripture, if I can find it here. I think it's in Jeremiah. I think it just, hang on a second. Jeremiah, where did you go? Well, I tell you what, I can kind of remember it. There's a verse in Jeremiah, I think it's in chapter 16. He says that what men do is they worship the work of their own hands. It's like, I'm building this, I'm going to build it, and when it's finished, that becomes my, you know, wow, just look at what I did. Worshipping the work of our own hands. And we've got to be careful we don't do that. Did you find that? Praise God. Yeah, you see there that they had forsaken him and burned incense to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. And so important that we are not worshipping the works of our own hands. We're building the kingdom for the king. We're building the kingdom for the king. That's who we're doing it for. And so when God said, okay, you've stopped that, you've picked your tools up again, you're going back to work, I raise my hand, I release the blessing back on you. We need the blessing of the Lord to complete the work. So we need his blessing to complete the work that we set out to do. That's important. You need the blessing in the process. You need his goodness and his provision. And because you know what? He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. It's all mine anyway. You need it to build my kingdom. And so, okay, that's fine. But then we also remembered, because you can get too fixated on bricks and mortar, that God's kingdom is reconciling souls back to him. Amen. That's what we're building.
Yes.
But the Bible uses building as a metaphor all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, always using a building as a metaphor. Because as I said to the guys, you give your Wayne a box of Lego or a Jenga set, and they just like begin building.
Yeah.
Like 6 months old, there's a tower. You know, and look at what I've did with it, you know. And everyone can understand building and foundations and strength and structure. And that's why I believe the Bible uses that all the time. The man who builds his life on shifting sands will not stand. But if you build your life on the rock, then you will, when the storms come against you, you'll stand. You'll stand. You'll stand. You won't go anywhere. Psalm 55. It says there, praise Lord, here it is. Verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and I will cry out, and he'll hear my voice. He's redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, because there were many against me. And some of us have know many things have been coming against us. And we spoke actually about, you know, the builders in Nehemiah. They were building with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. And so sometimes when you start your business, so you're building, sometimes you've got a sword in one hand and you're building your business in the other hand to fend off the attack that's coming against you. But listen to this. Da-da-da-da. In verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Amen. He will not permit the righteous to be shifted. He will not permit the righteous to be moved. You're going to stay strong this year. You're going to stay firm. You're going to stay firm. We're going to stay firm. And we're not going to be shoved around. We're not going to be shoved around and pushed around. There's a difference between humility and being a doormat. You know, do you know what? I'm the Christian in my workplace. I'm just going to be meek and mild. And no, I believe that there's, and we had some open time, and some of the guys shared on camp. It was great. And you shared about, you know, the difficulties of reaching people in the workplace. And but I believe as you are transformed in that area, that you'll reach people because of you, and boldness will rise up in you, confidence to declare who you are and what you believe in. Amen. And so, and once that starts, it's a bit like, it's a bit like the boy with the, who put his finger in the dike in Holland. You know, it's like, I'm holding back all this thousands of tons of water. Oops, hang on, finger out. The Holy Spirit's like that. Just sometimes it's like a plug that comes out and then it just flows and it flows. Amen. So the righteous will not be moved in the name of Jesus. The righteous will not be moved. And we're going to look next week, we're going to look about a bit more about the origins of faith. You know, sometimes you come on to stuff, I'm using all of this stuff right now, but we don't always understand where it came from. You know, it's good to understand the genesis of something in your life. It's good to know where it came from, what its purpose was. So much of the stuff in our lives these days is not serving the purpose that it was originally designed for. And actually, I say that in the widest possible sense, even biologically. Sometimes what is designed for a purpose is not being used for the purpose for which it was created. And so we need to take heed of that. And we were created, Proverbs says, he who wins souls is wise. That's what we were created for. We were created to build God's kingdom, reconciling souls. I'm so thankful for all the people here today that have recently given their lives to Jesus. Your life will never be the same again. You're going to be doing, you will be doing great exploits. And we'll look at that passage of scripture next week that says, you know, one plants, one waters, and one brings the increase. We've got to also understand that we're in a dispensation at the moment where we've got an opportunity to build, but we might not see we might not see the end of what we're building. Do you know what I'm saying? Leah's going to see it. You know, my kids will see it. The youth might not see it, and it's building. It's you know, it actually goes on until Jesus returns. So, well, what's the point in getting involved in that? I'm not even going to see the end result. No, just let's build. Let's build. Let's just build. Amen. And so we're going to look at the origins of faith next week, and we're going to look at faith probably for the next couple of weeks. And then on the 3rd of February, Brother Charles Graham is going to come and minister for us here. Amen. It's going to be good. So there's one, I want to finish on this, and I've cut this a bit short this morning because we had a long weekend. I'm tired. So I want a nice dinner and lie on the couch. But there was, we're so blessed to have friends from other churches come as well. And Paul was on the camp. And I'll finish with this. And we were chatting late last night. And he said, you know, and I've just got to say this. When the Holy Spirit begins quickening you, your life, and he's doing it with people in this place early this year, right now, in ordinary conversation with other people, things are jumping right out at us. It's like, what did you say? That's significant. That is really significant. Can I write that down? And I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. He might not ever find out that I'm sharing this. But he went away with his wife and to a place called Glen Elg. Never been there, but it's a wee cove somewhere. And he was in the building or the cottage or whatever it is, and she had gone out, and from what I understand, from what I interpreted of what Paul was saying, she'd gone out to pray about her walk with God. She needed some confirmations regarding her walk, her faith. And she'd put wellies on. She'd put this pair of wellies on and gone down there. And so he said to me, I came out a little bit later on, and I walked down. And he says, I could see someone down there, but I didn't recognize them. And he didn't know it was his wife. And so after a few more steps, it is you. He says, I didn't recognize you there. She says, what do you mean? He says, your walk was different. So we're just having this chat about them being there. And I'm saying, what did you say? He says, I didn't recognize her because her walk was different. Thought, there's a preach in that. There's a message in that. And I thought, what? And as soon as he said that to her, she says, what did you say? She says, I've been praying about my walk this morning. I've been praying that my walk needs to change. And he says to her, I didn't recognize you because your walk was different. And maybe it was the wellies. Maybe it was the wellies. But I'm gonna take that little message and courtesy of Paul, and I'm going to use it. And I'm going to say that her walk was different because she had put something on that made her walk differently. And I believe that this year, when we step into something new, that our walk will look different. And people will say, your walk, I didn't recognize you because your walk with the Lord is different. It's going to be different this year. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.